78, we covered too early in November.
California.
To 14.
Miami.
To.
Welcome. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to thank you all for being here this morning for the City of Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board Meeting. Call this meeting to order at 8:59. Or 9:01. I don't know. Whatever the clock up there says is 8:59. Stephen, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you, Charlie?
Doing well. We have our full board here today. We've got Mr. Taylor Newton, Sean Green. We've got Stephen Allen, myself, Charlie Yates, Chris Kosteka, and Maggie Curran. Thank you all for being here today. First, I'd like to start out with board member announcements. Are there any board member announcements here this morning? Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I have a couple. First, there is, on the Morro Bay homepage, there's an opportunity to chime in regarding your opinions about wayfinding signage. So hoteliers and anyone listening, go to the Morro Bay homepage, and it's right currently the first item on there. You can choose from several different design options, and they're vastly different. So if you have an opinion, chime in. Huh? The city homepage, yes, morrobayca.gov. And the other announcement, council, we talked about in previous meetings, the installations, and council passed those or approved those based on some of our recommendations. And I'm just updating on the light installation progress. We are moving forward with Public Works and City Manager and Rotary and Morro Bay and Bloom and Chamber of Commerce, and we're all pushing for hopeful December installation. We'll see how that goes, but things are happening.
I understand there's been some changes to the plan. Is that correct? To the lighting plan? I know that, you know, we're all in the same boat. We're all working for the same thing, but is that correct? Has there been a deviation from what our recommendation has been?
There never really was a plan, and the staff report that was generated for council was approved, my understanding, as is, which was kind of loosely defined structure. I don't think there was a firm plan.
It was to recommend to install on Morro Bay Boulevard.
With possible harbor. Well, T-bid, yeah. So basically, we're talking about three blocks on Morro Bay Boulevard and are still awaiting estimates from installers and parts. Late November is not the best time to install lights, supply and demand-wise, but we're trying to make it happen.
Staff announcements. Hello.
I have several. So the first one, Sean just went over. Council did approve just this last Tuesday the 6 installation grant, so those will start moving forward. I wanted all of you to know that Simple View is still on track. We went through all of the coding this week to see, make sure that it transitions through, and we have our SEO gentleman in the middle of that to make sure that we don't lose any tracking as we move over. Visit California had an opportunity that they brought to us a few weeks ago to have a media fam from Finland stay here. They put it out to us and to City of SLO, and I jumped on it. So they are staying here. They're staying at 456. It's one night. It's the day after Thanksgiving, which is a little difficult. So I really appreciate the hotel offering just a one-night room for 9 rooms when you're looking at a 4-day weekend. I know that's difficult for them. They'll be having dinner at Windows that night, and then as an attempt to start moving us in the way of looking at biking, we're going to do a biking excursion with Central Coast Outdoors instead of a kayaking tour. So they will bike through Morro Bay and go out to the Rock and probably get to look at the oysters over on Neal's Dock. So I think it'll be a really nice difference for what we've been doing normally. I wanted to mention there's currently 3 waterfront restaurants that are closed, which I'm a little concerned about going into the lighted boat parade. I asked Terry Bayes to see if she can get master leaseholders and nonprofits to possibly partner up and open it up like as a opportunity for them to raise funds for the nonprofit and just have, you know, tickets available at the door that you could be inside somewhere warm to watch the parade. I think would be a popular thing to do. I don't know if that'll work out, but hopefully out of the 3, we'll at least get one of those to do that. The first draft of the strategic plan came into my office last week, and I've gone through it once. I want to do one more review of it and get my changes back to Carl, and then I would like that to come back to TBID. I'm shooting for December, and I'm thinking possibly we'll do a special meeting on that, maybe cancel the December 20th meeting since it's right up against Christmas and go maybe a week before, but I need to talk with Carl and see if he can make that date, and then I'll reach out to all of you and see if you can also have that date. If not, we would move it to January. As far as Amgen, the host city announcement was moved back due to the fires. There are several communities that are also looking at hosting that are impacted by these fires, so they've moved it back to December. There's no date scheduled as of yet, but it will be early December. I did go ahead and contract with Samantha Pruitt, who is Ray Slow, for helping us manage Amgen as it comes into Morro Bay, and so I'm really thrilled she's on board, and she's already going above and beyond her contract with what we've talked about, and she's got Maddie Gregg that's coming into town. He's actually running across America. He left his job at Apple, and he's going to be here this Friday, and so she's got him set up to do a press conference out on the T-Pier, and then he'll spend the night at Front Street Spa, and then he'll have dinner with Greg Peters at the Galley, who's also an avid runner, and they'll do a podcast. I think it'll be really great. Good exposure for us, and it was not on my hit list. She just, you know, she's getting us in the mix of that whole other world that we really haven't been able to tap into. So I'm really thrilled with that. A couple other things. There was a discussion by council. It was just an open-ended discussion. No decision was made, but a discussion about visitor center locations. And this came up because there's a trolley that's getting ready to be put into mothballs. And there was a question of, do we make that a visitor center or do we move the visitor center? It just kind of opened up a discussion. And so we're going to keep looking at that discussion. And one of the topics that came up was the aquarium and the possibility of putting a temporary visitor center in there. So I know that city staff and chamber is going to be looking at that. In the meantime, Megan and I actually went down there last week and we papered the front doors because it just looks so empty. And I'm really concerned about the restaurants and the retail and the hotels past that location. I think people stand on the north corner and they look and they see that huge empty building and they just don't cross the street. And so we're going to put in some really large banners over those two lower windows that say, you know, more to explore and talk about the restaurants and the retail and the park and the boat ramp and really push people to keep walking past that building, and hopefully that'll help them through the winter months. But I don't know when, you know, that building will transition, but I just need to make sure that we ensure Morro Bay looks decent for our incoming visitors right now. So that'll be something that we're taking on as tourism. Just want all of you to know that.
And Jennifer, just a quick question. You kind of addressed it. You don't know when it's going to transition. Do you know if there's still a plan for that to be an aquarium? Are they still?
They are talking with Central Coast Aquarium, and we'll, as soon as they have that a little tighter, I'll have Christine Johnson come in and speak with us. And council had asked for TBID to get involved with the possibility of visitor center being there as far as the discussion. So this just happened Tuesday night, and I'll make sure that we're more involved in it now. Okay. That's it for my staff announcements.
Did we want to update anything on Amgen other than what we've already covered?
I have nothing else to announce until they announce the host cities, to be honest, Charlie.
October Wine Month promotion, do you want to talk about that?
Oh, you know what? We have that later in the – I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's just on the list.
But I did put that under Megan's section because she's going to talk about how we're doing as far as the ads. So I think I'll wait on that if you don't mind.
Great. Then I'd like to open the floor up to any public comment. I see public. I just don't see comment. But that's okay. Let's move on to our consent agenda. We have the approval of our September 25th and our October 18th minutes. Hopefully we've had a chance to review those. Are there any corrections or changes? If not, I'd like to call for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve can I do them both together? That we approve both the September 25th and October 18th minutes as they appeared in our packet.
I'll second.
We've got a second from Steve, and all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That passes. And moving on to business items. Let's see. We are now on to our September TOT report. Jennifer.
TOT is looking really good. We had another increase in September. August also went up, so I'm really thrilled to see that increase. I'm sure all of you are as well. Obviously, a lot of that is the bump of Highway 1 being open. Of course, we can't say it's 100% of that, but I think that is a lot of it. We did have the Avocado Margarita Festival, plus we had Wow Week for Cal Poly was also fell in September, so those were both good for us. ADR is up a little bit. It was $2 higher than last year. The RevPAR was $1 higher at 99 versus 98 for last year. And the occupancy was up to 75%. So I'm pretty thrilled with that. Do I have any questions on TOT? Keep having it go up?
Yeah. Finally beating Pismo. I love it.
And I make a prediction here. I think October is going to be even grander. Seemed like everybody was pretty busy in October. Restaurants, hotels, it was pretty good.
That's great to hear.
On the little star report table, we're not reporting Morro Bay on that anymore?
I took it off, Taylor, because it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why we'd put it on there when it's not 100% of our rooms.
But we were reporting real data, not just the accumulated data from a limited number of people. So we're actually getting it from the city rather than getting it from...
What were you thinking?
Well, I just figured since the star report isn't spot on for us, it probably isn't spot on for those other ones. So I was more looking at it as a comparison, like the ratio, because we're Morro Bay. So when I look at that, I'm looking at that table. I'm like, okay, this isn't real data because I know that from you. So what's the point of it if I don't have the Morro Bay not real data to look at the differences? Because the differences might be meaningful. I just liked it on there because I like to... Because when I look at it, I'm like, okay, this is a bunch of numbers that isn't real data, but I don't even have Morro Bay's not real data in there to compare it to. So what's the point?
My concern would be that all of these documents, you use them here, but they're really for people that are not here. They're for the hoteliers that are not here. And so we're not having conversations. So if they're looking at it and there's conflicting numbers, I'm worried that that's going to be confusing to them. Star Report does go out through SoCal every month, and so they do get those numbers.
I understand why you pulled it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more honest.
I mean, if we want to agendize it, we can do that and we can talk about it.
Because I thought we already had it go on. Because we didn't have it on there before, and then we put it back on there to do the comparison, and then we pulled it off again.
But it's never been agendized, and the board has never made a formal point on it. So if we want to do that, I'm fine with that, Taylor.
It might be part of the same discussion, but I think we talked about last time having a little bit more to scale a version of this graph.
Yeah.
This makes it seem like... We have a 250% increase year over year, and really it's not that. So maybe a little bit more to scale on that would be my vote.
I'll talk with the county about changing that. Not a problem.
One more item on that. I'm fine with it not being on the star report, but if you look at the asterisks under the star report, it says do not represent 100% of Morro Bay hotel rooms. We should probably change that to 100% of associated hotel rooms or something like that, because it's – yeah, the star report – none of those cities have 100%.
Correct. So
probably have that, but we'll take Morro Bay off that because we're not even on there anymore.
Okay.
Well, then the asterisk part tells you that Morro Bay doesn't have 100% reporting, but Morro Bay is not even on there. So what's the asterisk for?
Exactly. It was old. Any other questions on it? No?
I've got a question. What kind of influx are you all seeing from the fires, people coming here?
Not much.
We're seeing quite a bit up north.
I was in San Diego over the weekend, and I talked to hoteliers there, and they are full. And it appeared that block on Highway 101 sent everyone south. Mm-hmm. And then the fires to the north, everyone went north. So we had a great weekend, but a really very limited effect. We posted a $60 rate, you know, escape rate, and not a whole lot of pickup on it. So, but I think they're really heading south and north. Mm-hmm. So.
I saw a photo today of the PCH through Malibu towards center, and they opened all lanes. All four lanes were heading south from the Malibu fire. So I don't even think they allowed them to go the other way.
It might not have even...
Yeah, definitely compared to last year with Santa Barbara fire where we saw a big influx.
Moving on really fast, I wanted to show you the new outdoor board. It's up, I don't know if anybody's seen it on Highway 1, featuring activity-based thought pattern, which is where we're trying to move our concepts to.
Originally, is that the only board?
That is our only board.
Okay, I was looking for more. I thought maybe there was
we used to
more.
Have
okay.
One.
Very poor read. So this is a private location, Chris, and it's been super, it's very, very big. It's bigger than a normal board, but it's super difficult to maintain, and it's been a challenge for sure, but we don't want to lose it, so it's a really good raid, and we're definitely going to keep it.
So I saw this, and maybe I missed something along the way, but remember several months ago we had a whole big discussion. It was going to be life on coast, and we picked a picture and all that, and now this is totally different. When did that change happen?
So Life on Coast was before the new branding campaign was presented and approved by Mental Marketing.
Okay.
And they, yeah, it's
okay,
been that long.
Okay.
It was when they presented in April.
And who has jurisdiction over the all the weeds that are making the bottom half of that kind of not readable?
So if they're on the road, that'd be Caltrans. If they're on the property, we actually, TBIT actually paid to have the bamboo that was growing in front of it all cut back. I cut all that back.
Yeah.
It'll grow back again next year, and we'll have to recut it. But that's on private property.
All right.
I can't do anything about it on the highway.
And are we getting such a good deal that losing this is not out of the we never want to lose this?
Do you want a competitor on there, Sean? Honestly.
I think based on the weeds that I'd see every day when I drive by, it's really only like the top half of that we see, and it's frustrating because that's not really our fault, but it's just a consideration when we think about doing it next time.
Absolutely, and which is the reason why there was a extension on the bottom of the board. We got rid of that because you couldn't see it. The board costs us $500 a month, just so you understand. It's probably
is there an opportunity to reach out to Caltrans and ask them if they could?
Mm-mm.
No. Why not? I mean, it's just a request. I mean, can't the city public work go, hey, we have a sign, we pay a lot of money, is there any way you could help
us? I'll see what I can do.
Or maybe we have Morro Bay in bloom. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm with you on it. You know, I like the sign, like the location, but it is covered somewhat by those low, low-lying bushes on the highway.
So I'm going to let Megan go through some of the marketing stuff for you guys.
Hi, I'm Megan Leininger, Marketing and Communications Coordinator.
Yeah.
So just some data on the wine campaign. We've had 562 coupons redeemed so far, and based on the ads that we've put through, the number of room nights booked through Adara has been 199. And since they only track 20% of the inventory, the projected room nights booked from that campaign is $9.95 on that one.
But any questions on that?
Yeah. Don't be shy.
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys have any questions on that? It's lower than we anticipated, but it is our first year, so I'm happy with that. I think it'll grow every year. It's about, so far, it's under $3,000 total, and I think we had allocated $8,000 in our budget, so it'll give us money to put towards doing this possibly for Valentine's Day, which is midweek again, which would be nice.
And then just some press coverage highlights. This one is from the East Bay Times. It's about oysters. The first line actually reads, New Orleans, New York, Morro Bay, when it comes to oysters, the coastal town with the famous Morro Rock wins hands down. It's pretty darn good. And then this is the story that actually got the most traction. It's the paddleboard witches. This one's from the Texas Star-Telegram, but it was also picked up in Sacramento, Washington, Idaho, and Fresno. And then just an update on the blog. It's back up and running, publishing weekly. Some of the stories that have gone up so far, secret season, events, sunset, Thanksgiving, biology, and transportation.
And so Megan's writing the blog, and then usually Liz pulls that over and puts it on to our e-blast that we do weekly, so we'll send those out. And then Travis also posts them on social media. So I'm glad to have that up and running again. Is that it? Okay. You guys have any questions for Megan? Griller. No.
There, I was kind of glancing through all the publicity, and there was one article that was very weird. It was about, I took a picture, I kept a printout of it. It was talking about the best hotels in Morro Bay, and then it went on to list 2 in Cayucas, 2 in Los Osos, and 1 in Morro Bay.
Yeah, it's always interesting what people decide to post.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened, but I didn't know if that was something we put. We wouldn't have put that out.
No,
somebody just
absolutely
independently.
Not. So they could have been hosted by several communities, and they just combined it. I mean, it's very hard to control what a journalist writes. I mean, I think we get pretty lucky, but sometimes it's odd. And exposure is good exposure, right, Maggie?
You said more abandonment.
Yeah.
I had a question from last month that I asked Mental, but we didn't get around to it. Is there any communication between Mental, Simple View, and our strategic planner, or is it all through you?
Well, the strategic planner right now is just through me.
Okay.
So Mental is working with me and with Simple View, and so we did the first round, and then all of this tracking element for Simple View has now gone to Rick that does our SEO. So he's ensuring, I don't want myself or Mental to do that. He needs to make sure we're using the right coding for
who's
the
Rick? Who's he with?
He Pacific Leisure. He does all of our SEO.
Okay.
He's done it for a couple of years. He does a good job. Yes, he also does Pismo Beach.
And he's an independent contractor at TBID?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he's making sure that the meta tags are correct, the meta links are right, all that. That's his responsibility.
Okay.
So that's where it sits now. Very quiet group today. So next week, I have invited Andy McKay to come in and talk about the Pismo Beach surf contest that he just had, just to review and give the new members a little background. We had talked about sponsoring this last year, and unfortunately, Mr. McKay was just not able to get enough sponsorship to bring it into Morro Bay. But his intent long-term is to do 3 locations. I'm assuming that's still correct. So that's his real intention. And so they just finished the one in Pismo, and so he just is going to – this is just a kind of a broad thought. There's no direction as far as looking for approval from you guys as a board. I just want you guys to hear how well it went, and we'll look at putting it in, hopefully, in our budget for next year. Okay? So feel free to ask any questions you want. And come on up. You can come up to the microphone.
Thanks for having me. My name's Andy McKay. I live in Pismo Beach. I'm a transplant from Orange County, but I've lived up here for 7 years. I'm very proud of where I live and a former pro surfer, and I'm interested in that sport. And I came to the conclusion about 2 years ago that there's only, for competitive surfers just getting started in the pro series, there's only 1 California contest for the men, and there's none for the women on the lower level. So I thought Pismo Beach would be a great fit for this, and did something I never did before, and I put on an event last year called the Pismo Beach Open. Dignity Health got behind me. They were my first big sponsor, and after that happened, everybody else kind of fell in place, and we pulled off a men's-only event last year. Based off the success of that, I brought it back this year. It was just last October, and we had also a women's division, and it went pretty well. The mayor came down, the city manager, the police chief, they joined the cast up in the booth, and they got to be guest announcers for 20-minute eats, and everybody had a great time. It was 4 days long. It was all broadcast live on the internet on the World Surf League website. The major sponsors were able to run commercials in between heats for 30-second ads. We had almost 100,000 people watch the event online, and we had about 1,000 people a day show up at the beach and watch it live. It was a very mellow event. It's not a big crush all at once. There's kind of people come and go, so it's not a big impact on the police or the fire department. We hired the lifeguards. We had 3 lifeguards, and we pay for a vehicle to sit there all day. There was no incidents, but they're there for safety. So it's just kind of a nice, gentle, four-day-long event that puts people in hotels, puts people in restaurants, really helps out the kids of California because they don't have to get on a plane and travel somewhere else to get the points that they're looking for. And it just seemed like it was a great fit. So after two successful years, the World Surf League, who puts these on, I'm just a sanctioned body of them. I don't work for them. They're interested in hosting more events, of course. And in other areas of the world, like Australia or South Africa or Hawaii, the East Coast, they like to tag events together. So if a surfer traveling from afar comes, they can do over two or three weekends in a row, do two events, three events, and they can save money. These surfers are not making a lot of money. They're trying to break through. It's kind of like the minor leagues of baseball. They're doing it for the love of the sport, trying to make the big league someday. So now that we've had two good years of Pismo, I'm trying to get a second event going. Morro Bay is the most natural, perfect venue. It's in the same area. It's got great waves. It's got a great city that can host it. I really want to help the city. I don't want to do any damage. I think it's really helping Pismo, and I think it could do the same for Morro Bay. The webcast for you guys, to me, is the biggest thing. We might not have thousands and thousands of people here, but people watch it all around the world. The webcast is basically a 27-hour commercial for Morro Bay. That's what it does for Pismo. There's three cameras on the action and then one drone. There's a lot of downtime. The announcers just talk about the local area a lot. So you not only do get a real commercial, the whole thing is a commercial. The 27 hours of the last event we just did is on YouTube still, so people can go to the World Surf League website and watch the whole damn contest if they want. It's kind of boring, but people do. The hits go up every day still. It's incredible. So it's kind of something that just keeps going on and on. So you can watch last year's event. You can watch this year's event. It's something I would like to get on the schedule this year. Then I'm challenged to go out and find the money for it. I do have commitments already from some of the sponsors from Pismo. They're interested in doing another event. Jeep is the biggest one right now. They're committed to at least doing 10 to 25,000 committed towards the Morro Bay event. So it's a really good start. I think Dignity Health will come along. I'm not sure at what level, but I know they have interest in talking about it. French Hospital is your closest hospital. That's their territory. So and Mid-State Containers built us a structure. So the judge's tower is made out of custom-made containers from them. They're in if we do this, and 805 Beer is definitely a partner if we do something in Morro Bay. So we have a good start, better than I got to last year. So we do have a media kit that the WSL supplied me with after our Pismo event, so this is the beginning of that. I'm not sure how. Okay.
Real quick question, Andy.
Yeah.
What is your total budget?
The event cost me in Pismo about $75,000.
Okay.
Almost $20,000 of that I got in just trades. So I really needed about just over $50,000
yeah.
cash.
Okay.
So it just depends on hotel trades or, you know, other things.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Pismo awarded us $10,000. The big chunk of that went towards paying for the webcast. That was their biggest interest because if I don't have the webcast, the event can still go on, but then not as many people are watching it. It's only the live crowd. So the key to it is the webcast. We need that. The cost of that's about $13,000. Okay, so this is what followed up. The World Surf League puts all this together, so some of the numbers are a little over my head. They described it all to me, but if you have questions, you can ask me. I'll try and get it right. So this one. It's about 10 pages. I'll just go to the more relevant ones. But this was a follow-up. Gives you the basic dates when it happened. There was 96 men, 32 women. Shows a picture of all the winners. The guy who won it was from Costa Rica. The woman who won it was a 16-year-old girl from San Clemente. Based on that result, she had enough points to get her to Australia right after that, and she went and competed and got eighth there in a really big contest. So Pismo Beach really helped her. So that's kind of why I'm doing this. I want to help the California surfers and moved her up the ranks quite a bit.
Are you trying to do men's and women's
yes.
here? Or okay.
It would be a four-day event. Same as Pismo. That's all I'm trying to do. Just do the same thing. I don't want to bite off more than I can chew. These lower level events is what these kids need. And I have no aspirations to turn this into the U.S. Open, which goes on in Huntington Beach every year. It's 10 times the points for this, and it's a $5 million, $20 million event. I'm not sure the numbers, but I don't want to do that here. I don't want to do that to the town. We couldn't handle it. But this is perfect. Morro Bay, Pismo Beach is perfect for these lower level events.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
My name's Taylor Newton. I run the Gorilla Gardening Club. I believe I met with your assistant this year. We were scheduled, actually, to do your event for Zero Waste, but I had to go to Italy, so I had to pull out.
Correct.
And I wanted to say, you know, I talked to a lot of people about events throughout the year, and you guys were so well organized and so polite, and her reporting was better. Like, her data and organization and reporting for everything I asked and what you were trying to do was really impressive. And I felt really bad about having to pull out, but again, I had to go across the country. But I just wanted to tell you that what I just said, that I was really impressed.
Very cool. Thank you. That was Sierra Frost. She's my head volunteer.
Yeah. You guys just, your data, what she was able to bring to the table as far as paperwork, and I was completely blown away. It was better than what Cal Poly presents to me.
Wow, very cool. I'll pass that along to her. Thank you.
Very honest.
Yeah, we really don't want to have an impact on the area, so this year we ended up partnering with Slow Surf Rider, and they did a beach cleanup before the event and after the event, and then talked, you know, we gave them a free booth during the event. We have a little sponsor expo area, and they just educated the public on things going on in the Central Coast, you know, things that people want to donate to or help with, and they were there to answer questions and give out information. So, sorry, I'm on the wrong page here. Okay, so this is basically about the World Surf League website. They have 672,000 users that follow the website. There's also an app that goes with this website, so a lot of people just look it on their phone. But this, you can, from their website, you can watch all these events, and you can watch it from the app also. There's lots of countries involved, but obviously we just care about the U.S. This is just a breakdown of people use the mobile device or the website. The next page, a little more important. This is the webcast numbers. This is the one that would mean the most to you guys if I was in your seat. It shows that we had totally of 96,122,000 people watch this event. Total airtime was almost 27 hours. And then day one, if you look at the numbers there, it breaks it down to how many exact views, the average watch time, and the most that watched it at one time, the peak concurrent. And it goes, shows you each day there. But it doesn't seem like 14, 15 minutes is that long to keep someone on, but, you know, if YouTube analytics, if you can keep someone to watch a commercial for 3 to 5 seconds, you're doing well. To get people to watch it that long is really good. So picture the average person watching Morro Bay for 15 minutes. It really is a big commercial for you guys. You know, that's what made Pismo so excited, and they were willing to fund almost half of the webcast with their money. So, but that's the core numbers that I would look at if I was you guys. That mean the most. The rest of it is kind of filler stuff. Just shows some neat pictures and how many unique views they had. And they break down everything from Instagram to Facebook followers. And that's all important, too. And I can't break down the numbers or describe them too much other than a lot of people follow their web, you know, their Facebook and their Instagram. That's how they get a lot of people to get quick updates without having to go to the website. On their main homepage, the Pismo Beach Open was one of 6 items featured. So if you sat there long enough, each one changes. It featured the Pismo Beach Open all 4 days of our event. So it kind of put Pismo on the map with all those 1,000,006 people that follow them. If you went to their website, you saw the Pismo Beach name brought up quite a bit. This is more information about Facebook, Instagram. You know, for the most part, there's a lot more filler, but that webcast numbers is what you guys should probably care about the most. It talks about, we were covered by local media, the Tribune and KSBY was just about there every day and did little sub-stories on different surfers and things like that. And it just, you know, it was all good press for the city. So for the most part, that was the gist of what I wanted to say. I'd love to answer any questions. And
dates that you're anticipating,
so
October?
That's the big thing. I'm trying to nail down a date with Pismo Beach and the WSL. I'm sort of a mediator between them. The first year we did it was mid-November. The city loved it because there was no other events going on. The hotels were pretty slow. And, you know, it was a good first year event, good way to try me out because I didn't know what I was doing. This year the WSL really had ambitions to move it up to October. The only way I could get the women in was to move it up. And the city didn't want that, but they begrudgingly voted to try it. They loved it. It was a great event, but they really want the event pushed back to November. which I'm fighting for too, because as a small business owner, I want an event when we're not already busy. I want to fill in the weekends that help the city the most. So the problem with that is we're trying to balance that with keeping the women on the schedule. So there's an event in Australia that the second week of November finishes the season for them. So we have to be before them. We're trying to see if we can fight with them to change that. But they've had that event for 40 years, and they crowned the champion there. They don't want to be followed by some little contest in California to replace their crowning of the champion. So we're in debate with them. But the goal is to get it somewhere in the late October, early November in 2019 and piggyback it with a Morro Bay event, either before or after it. Once I get the date settled, then I would approach you guys going, here's two possible dates, either the weekend before or the weekend after Pismo. So it would... That's what everybody would like to do. It's better for the surfers. It's better for the WSL. The World Surf League finishes its season in the winter in Hawaii, so they're trying to get everybody to be done by early November, so the people that rose to the top and can make the final three contests, they call the Triple Crown, then they can send them all over to Hawaii, and all the eyes are on that. They don't want to keep having little contests that detract from the big main event. It's their Super Bowl, so we want to be done by mid-November.
And it's Thursday through Monday?
It would be a Thursday through Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So usually the men go all day Thursday, and then the women join in late Friday. And then Saturday, Sunday, it's just back and forth. They do the men's quarterfinals, women's quarterfinals, men's semis, women's semis. And then they, because there's 96 men, they got to whittle it down to get it even with the women, and they pair them off after that.
This is my buddy's a professional disc golfer, and it's kind of a similar situation where basically he's looking at the calendar every year and seeing which East Coast tournaments have two weekends back-to-back, and he books that one. And whichever is the most convenient situation, it's almost arbitrary where those are. If there's two back-to-back that are closely located.
We had no trouble filling the event, and like I said, we had over a dozen countries represented. But if we could bring in two events, we're going to attract higher name, bigger surfers, which will put more eyes on the event and bring more people to watch it. We had a couple bigger names this year than showed up the first year because we had such a good reputation from year one, and the waves and weather were super good this year. We got really lucky, and just everything went about perfect, but the surfers were blown away, and we've already got messages next year. Other people are coming. So.
And it's also a great opportunity to bring youth into Morro Bay and local organizations that are younger, skewing, and Cal Poly and high school students and things like that.
Yeah, we have plans to partner with Cal Poly to be part of the broadcast this year, actually, and use some of their students to get – they'll get credit for it, but they're going to be interviewing the surfers and become part of the webcast this year. That's the plan, at least. So we have a good – and we would do that here also if we could pull off the back-to-back. And then eventually we would like to add a third event, you know, through the years. We want to grow this and make it last 20, 30, 40 years, but have a triple crown type of situation where we do three events. I don't know where that third city would be yet, but I definitely want to try and keep it in Slo County somewhere.
Andy, so. Great event. I'm not a surfer, but I know a couple kids that came here last weekend to compete. They had a good time. The waves are they consistent this time of year? And what do you do if they're not, if there are no waves?
Well, weather-wise, it's the best time of year, October, November. You just have no idea when you put it on the schedule a year in advance, but you can just cross your fingers about the waves. It's a good bet. There's just, these kids do events everywhere in the world, and they really don't care. They just need the points. But the four East Coast events that happened this year, the waves were very dismal, and they run the events anyway. They have them. Our worst days are better than those contests that all happen this day. Morro Bay is better than Pismo wave-wise, so I'm not worried about that. If we get lucky like we did in Pismo and have a swell too, that's even better. But you can surf almost 365 days a year here. If we have good weather and waves, it's all bonus. But they just want the points, and they need the venue. And I can't tell you enough how bad these California surfers need it. We haven't had a California world champ since the early 80s. We're the best surfers in the world, but because there's no events here, these kids don't have the money to get on planes and compete anymore. And we've just fallen off the map as far as on the world scene, where all the other countries and other states are kicking our butts. So we should be hosting 9-10 events in California a year for both the men and women. We have one outside of Pismo, we have one other event for each of them. So we need my new goal in life is to build this up. So I created a nonprofit to run it all through. We just got qualified as a 501c3, so we're getting a lot more help because it's more beneficial. It's not just a sponsorship for these companies, it's also a donation. So we'd love for you guys to be a part of it.
Andy, thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing more surfers of tomorrow.
Right on.
One question. What are you looking for from TBID? What can we do to help?
I mean, I also have experience-wise with this, is what Pismo's done for us. The $10,000 they gave us really was a home run for us. I mean, it almost paid for the whole webcast. So,
I'm going to plan to put it in my budget for next year.
If I could ask for 100, I would, but 10 or 5 would be unbelievable. So, you know, and I'd love to wrap, you know, we don't have a name for this event yet, and you kind of pick it year one, and then it's that after, and I really want to keep Morro Bay in the name of it. The Pismo Open is called the Pismo Beach Open, presented by Dignity Health, but the sponsorship could change over the years, but we'd like to keep the name, naming it something like the Coldwater Classic or something doesn't do you any good. Calling it the Morro Bay Open or whatever, and we can decide that together if you want to be partners, but I think it would be smart of me and smart of you guys to have the name in the name of the event, you know, give the city credit for it, but.
And we just need to figure out what, you know, as far as date-wise, what's going to be best for us, because we have a few other things that come through town beginning of October. And
that's the problem with Pismo. There's so many events happening at the pier and area. And I don't want to step on any other event's toes, but we can run concurrently with almost any other event.
But then it doesn't help us with hotel rooms.
True.
So if we're already full, we only have 900 rooms, so a little different than Pismo. I mean, Pismo would trump us all day long.
A lot of the surfers camped. A lot of them did Airbnbs. Some, you know, stayed in hotels. Some, I saw one guy sleeping in his car. So you're going to get all types. But just having the people here, they're going to, you know, do more than just hotels. They're going to be in restaurants and things like that. But a four-day event is pretty unique. Most events that come to town are one
day. I can't speak for the whole board, but I'd be very interested in supporting that. So I would say keep plugging forward and no definite commitment. We can't make that commitment until, when do we do budgets? August?
What I'm asking now
probably
is just permission
May.
To put it, if I can get a date, put it on the schedule, and then if 3 months out before the event I don't have it, then we can pull it back off, you know, and if you've committed something towards me, I just, you know, I don't take the funds until it's confirmed.
Like you said, Andy, the hardest thing to do is to nail down that date, find that sweet spot where events aren't, and, you know, try to fill the void.
So now I'm challenged with not only getting Pismo and the WSL to work something out, but it would be you guys too, but I think it could happen. Everybody wants it, so.
I'll work with Andy to figure out when we can fit it in our schedule, because I definitely want to move it forward.
Spring professional surfing to Morro Bay.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Coming.
All right. Thank you again, Andy. Looking forward to it. Declaration now of any future agenda items.
I was reading through the Harbor Department's agenda and minutes, and I really like how they keep a rolling list of future agenda items on item D of their agenda. I know we've mentioned things in the past, and I can't even remember what we've mentioned for future agenda items that just kind of didn't make the cut. Just an idea to kind of keep an eye on, or just take a peek at what Harbor does, because I like to see their list of 10 or 12 things that are on the back burner that they can always choose to put on a future agenda without actually having it on the agenda. Yeah. I don't know the legal logistics there, but I like the running list so that when we declare a future agenda item, it doesn't have to happen the next month, but still exists as a back burner item.
There's nothing legal as far as binding on that, just it's staff time from my department.
It could be future items that aren't agendized yet. Correct?
Possible, maybe we call them possible future agenda items.
Okay. I like it.
Jen?
Yeah.
So for the organization I work with, we work with the LGBTQIA community a lot. And I've been monitoring the success of the drag shows at the Siren. They've been incredible turnout. And they just keep on coming, and it's really, for us, it's really exciting that they come. Everybody's coming all the way out from SLO to our venue here in Morro Bay, and they're getting bigger and bigger names. It's just, it's amazing. On the former T-bid that I served on here for Morro Bay before it was brought into the city, we had a focus on gay tourism, we haven't really talked about that in a long time. I know that it's part of the industry that is lucrative. We had a bear weekend back when Brent was in charge. Do we focus at all on that anymore?
So Bear Week in Wood probably would have been an event. Is that right?
Yeah, he had okay. I'm not saying let's do a Bear Weekend. I'm just saying that that we did do a focus on it before, and I know that there were some people in the community that weren't excited about advertising that, but, I mean, I totally disagree. And with the success of the drag shows, I would love to see that as part of our discussion in the future for tourism, you know, to have focus on that. We don't talk about it at all anymore, and we used to talk about it. And I know that, you know, if you read the data on that side of tourism, I mean, it's really successful, and I just I know that Morro Bay is a destination for everybody.
Absolutely.
And with the success of the drag shows at the Siren, I would love to see that more in our discussions from time to time, instead of being something that we don't talk about. Any feedback on that?
So I wouldn't say we don't talk about it, first of all, because I mean, to me, it's not just about that arm, Taylor. It's about, like you said, we are open to anybody. And so we need to be broader than just that target community. I mean, we need to be welcoming to anybody that wants to come to Morro Bay, right? We all agree on that. Mm-hmm. So, but when there are drag shows or if there was events that came in, we would absolutely promote them and advertise them on our site. An event could file for a grant if we wanted to do that. I mean, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. As far as, I'm not sure what you're looking
for. So, like, when mental marketing does, like, what magazines or media that they get, you know, you get
right.
journalists and stuff like that. Do we ever reach out to that genre of journalist?
We do, and we have hosted couples before. Actually, several this last year. So, I mean, I can pull those articles for you if you want. They were mainly international. When Visit California came, there was two gentlemen from Italy, and they have a really amazing blog, and they did a lot on Morro Bay. So there is an active part of what we do. We really don't do print ads, and again, if we did, it would be broader thought, not too niche, because we just don't have the money. I mean, we have to look at the best ways to use our money as far as broad, you know, scope.
Mm-hmm.
So mainly we do digital ads is what we really focus on, and those go to anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what their lifestyle is. I don't think that's my place to get into. It's what they like. Do they like the beach? Do they like Morro Bay? Do they like, you know, it goes after those type of things specifically. So that makes
Jen,
sense.
I couldn't agree with you more. The concern with doing any type of marketing that targets any specific demographic is there's no end to that. You know, then there's hundreds of different demographics we can concentrate on. So I like the broad strokes, because I think no matter what your specific demographic is, right, you want the beach, golf courses and kayaking, you know, make it general that any and all people, you know, make sure all of our ads and stuff are inclusive in every way. But yeah, once you start going down that demographic trail, it gets really hard. Because there's no end of, you know, where do you stop? And then we're targeting this and targeting that. And we don't, like you said, we don't have the budgets to do that. The broad strokes, I think, are better than advertising things that everybody enjoys.
So we had some comments on Visit Santa Cruz board that I sit on this past year. They're very similar. And we formed a subcommittee. And really what we found that the LBGQ... QIA, they wanted to know that they were welcome in the communities, right? And so we made some revisions to our website, letting them know that they are welcome. Yes, we don't always have the budget to target, but just letting them know they're welcome and that we will accept their feedback and, you know, try and put together groups. And I think that's primarily, at least that's what we found in Santa Cruz that they were looking for.
I think probably, because this is kind of now going into a discussion, if we want to agendize it, we can. What I would recommend is that maybe I reach out to Carl from our strategic plan and see if it's something that he's looking at and get a recommendation from him, get it into that strategic plan, and it comes back as part of that. It might be a good place to go, because that should be our base of where we're going. But it should be agendized. We shouldn't just, you know, get into a discussion about it, but I think it's a very valid point we should look at.
Yeah, I wanted to bring it up just because
I appreciate it.
I've been super impressed with what they've done with the drag shows. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, and just a last comment on that. To me, it could be as simple as in some of the photography and pictures we use that we're showing those couples as well, you know. So anyway.
I'd be interested in getting feedback from Mary Ann, too, yep. on, you know, if there's any specifics that she's sure. doing within her plan. So thank you. Good stuff. Any future items? Anything else? Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'm going to call the meeting to at 9:49.
You guys owe me. This is record time.
Thank you all, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
God bless y'all.